right, all right. True Life, so glad you're here today. Yeah, and two of you are glad I'm here. Thank you. The last group just started applauding and everything, and my ego was up there. You guys were sent here to humble me. It is a privilege to be here. If I haven't met you, I'm Pastor Perry, one of the ministers here on staff. Pastor Michael today is up with Pastor Ted, the, what do you call him, of the Eagles? The chaplain of something, they need it. Pastor Ted and I, every time he comes and speaks at our church, he's the chaplain of the Eagles. We usually have a little go around. He went in my office this past time, and if you haven't seen my office, it's the most beautiful office in existence. We usually go back and forth between the Cowboys and the Eagles. And he always shows me the Super Bowl ring with that. So I don't like him very much. But Pastor Michael will be back next week. He asked me to finish out today talking about disciple. What is a disciple and the different things. And he has just killed it the last few weeks since he's been back from vacation. And it's my turn to do this. I will just ask you a couple of things real quickly to bear with me. Some of you know, Penny and I just got back from vacation. We were gone for about 12 days, a little whirlwind tour to Terre Haute, Indiana, Springfield, Missouri, Paducah, Missouri, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Cleveland, Tennessee, Winchester, Virginia, and then back home. And we had time to relax in the middle of all of that. And if I have a little difficulty, I'm going to be more in the teaching mode today than usual. And that is because I've just got to go slow today. Because we got back, took Tuesday to rest, and Thursday I had eye surgery. And when you get my age, stuff like that happens. And so I had cataract surgery. And so one eye is different than the other. So, like, you know, it's, so sometimes things aren't always popping the way they should pop, but I will try to do that, to get things in. Let's just pray. Father God, I thank you and I praise you this day for your love. I thank you for your goodness. Thank you for all that you do. I thank you for our church, Lord, all of those that are here today, those that are watching online, Father. I pray you guide my words and direct them today, that they be pleasing to you, God, but they would be instructional to all of us, God. I thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. Pastor Michael asked me, he said, how about if you do this? Why don't you do the topic of a disciple bears fruit? Thus, the bowl of fruit and vegetables. A disciple bears fruit. And so we went out yesterday and we got some fruit. We've got some peppers. Okay, vegetable. We got some peaches. We got like these grapes that are like amazing. They're like those candy grapes you've seen. No, you can't have any. Apples. And we even got some tomatoes from our garden. Nice pretty little display, and also beef jerky, best thing you can grow in the garden with that. I want to talk today about one of the things I think that if we're not careful, we can miss out on, and that is by calling ourselves a disciple and yet not bearing fruit. And it's very important for us to bear fruit. So our theme scripture for this whole thing has been in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul is saying this, and that's a pretty bold statement. If you tell somebody, be like me, act like me, do what I do, behave the way I behave. Anybody here that is a parent knows that you don't really have to say this. Your kids will pick up things and do things the way you do them. Good and not so good. That our kids will pick up on that. Well, as leaders in the church and things, we should be able to tell people to follow me as I follow Christ. But first, we have to be a disciple of Christ. And to do that, we need to bear fruit. And we'll get into that. My scripture today, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even unto the very end of the age. Just a couple of things here. In the beginning, make disciples. How do you make disciples? It's like, do you get a kit? Do you have certain things that you do? How do you make disciples? The word make disciples there, when you look at the original text, it literally means to follow, get them to follow your precepts and your instructions. We don't like to follow instructions, especially I think some of us men sometimes. We don't need those instructions until we have leftover pieces and we don't know why it's not staying together. But here it says to go out and make disciples. You need to teach precepts and you need to give instruction in order to make disciples. And then down at the end it says, and teaching them to obey. Why do you got to teach to obey? Because obedience isn't natural to most any of us. Nobody likes that word, obey. For some reason, it is almost a cuss word to us. We don't want to be told to obey anything. The word obey there, again, in the original text, means to teach them to observe everything. Teach them to observe everything. Now, if you're teaching people to observe everything about you needs to be pretty good, amen? We need to put forth a pretty good example. I know with my children, they would pick up the bad stuff quicker than they would pick up the good stuff. You know, not from me, but from Penny, of course. The good stuff. Why are you all laughing? The good stuff. But teach them to observe. So we have to give them something to observe and kind of keep that in focus as we go through this. And by the way, if you haven't been, when I preach, I throw a ton of scripture at you, because the Word of God is smarter than I am, so I'll give you a lot of that. John 15:8, this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. Everybody say much. That wasn't very much. Everybody say much. That's better. That you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is where we start to get into it. He said, that you might bear much fruit. Bearing fruit here, if you again look at the original text, it talks about the fruit of trees, the fruit of vines, the fruit of fields, any kind of produce that can be brought out to produce much, but it also means the fruit of one's loins or your progeny or your posterity. What kind of fruit are you producing that is going to last into the next generation? What kind of fruit are you producing? You see, this bowl of fruit, I can leave this here on stage and in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, come back and none of this would be desirable to you. It's not going to last for generations. But the kind of fruit we're talking about producing is something that is going to affect generations to come. When you become a disciple and you produce fruit, it continues to produce. I think about my pastor growing up, and he went on to be with the Lord many, many, many years ago, lived into his late 90s. And Pastor Evans was just a great, great man of God, very, very humble person, very laid back person, could preach like a freight train going down the rails. But he instilled a lot of things in my life that I use today still. And I will see some of it in my kids sometimes, the very things that he taught me in ministry. And so that's a fruit that will produce for posterity. It will continue to grow. You see, you are to produce more of you in this world. So make sure you are worth duplicating. And that's by becoming that disciple of Christ. You're a follower of Christ, and you're to make disciples. Now, it says here, to bear much fruit. And being the word geek that I am, I looked up the word much, just in case I didn't know what it meant. And the word much in the Greek means many, much, more, plenty, and often. I like that. Many, much, more, plenty, and often. In our life, it should be a continual bowl of fruit that is being produced over and over and over. In the good times, in the bad times. Now, we got back from vacation, and of course it hits this way a lot. All of my tomatoes were coming on, I knew it, while I was on vacation. And I told my neighbors, and I told my son, go in our backyard, pick all the tomatoes you want. They'll be rotten by the time I get home. But they're still producing. And I went out into my yard, and I look in the backyard, and I see all these beautiful red tomatoes from my back window. And as I get closer to them, I see that this demonic bird had got into my garden and had taken a bite out of every single tomato. And I was giving glory to God and smashing the tomatoes and then going and getting this big bird net and covering my whole garden with it so that little devil can't get in there anymore. And it was funny because as I'm covering it with this net, he is up in a tree squawking at me. He does not know I have guns. So listen, if we're to produce much fruit, just like with that, it means that I have to take care of it constantly, that I have to constantly look over it, and I need to constantly produce something that somebody would want. And then the other thing here, it says, showing yourself to be my disciples. Do you know that showing yourself to be a disciple is not like a lot of things we think? Like when I got saved in the early 70s, it was right on the tail end of the Jesus movement. One of the first things you did was buy yourself a cross and wear it on your t-shirt with your blue jeans and your sandals and your long hair. And so I bought a big old cross and I wore that. Nothing wrong with wearing the cross. In our recovery class on Tuesday nights, we actually give out crosses instead of coins for recovery class. If you know someone needs to be in recovery, send them out on Tuesday nights. Better yet, bring them out on Tuesday nights. But listen, I had to wear the big this and that. And for the longest time, you thought that being a disciple was dressing a certain way, looking a certain way, having your hair a certain way, having your dress so long or whatever. There was all these rules about being a disciple, but he doesn't say, show yourself by being, that you're my disciple by all of that stuff. He said, show yourself to be my disciple by bearing fruit. And we'll talk about what that fruit is in just a moment. Started right in the very beginning, Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Now there it was talking about replenishing the earth with people, but I believe the fruitfulness is still there for today. Fruit is, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, as a disciple, fruit is what my life produces. It shouldn't be a maybe it produces or if it produces. If I call myself a disciple of Christ, my life needs to produce fruit. So bearing fruit is what I do. What do you do as a Christian? Well, I go to church, I sing some songs, I put some money in the offering, I serve on serve day. No, I'm a Christian. What do? I produce fruit. I'm a disciple, so I produce fruit. Long scripture here as well, Matthew 7:16. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown in the fire. Thus by their fruit you will recognize them. I like the word recognize. How do you know somebody's a Christian? By that great big cross they're wearing, or that great big Bible they're carrying. No, you'll know they're a Christian by their fruit. That word recognize means to know accurately, to see who the person is. If we had a police officer on duty in our church today, and I said, it's good to have the local police here. And by the way, that's a group you should be praying for regularly and appreciate all the time. But anyway, if I said, you guys would start looking for someone in a police uniform. You know, if I describe somebody else. So as a Christian, how do you recognize that someone is a disciple? You recognize it because of the fruit that they produce. Why? Because fruit is visible. Fruit is visible. Isn't this good looking here? I mean, it's not. I was going to give it away, but not now. Y'all are too quiet. You blew it. Fruit is visible. You're going to see the fruit in people's lives. There's some Christians you just look at them. And you see things, you talk to them for a couple of minutes, and you go, you know what? That person's a Christian. That person's a disciple. That person's a follower of Christ, because their fruit just comes pouring out the more you talk to them. You realize it's there. Galatians says this, and hold on, because this is long. Galatians 16, so I say, let the Holy Spirit, remember that. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. If we would ever figure this out, Christian counseling would go out the door. And thank God for good Christian counseling, okay? I'm not opposed to that at all. But what I'm saying is, this is the struggle as disciples that we find. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you're directed by the Spirit, remember, let the Spirit, when you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. This is what happens. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery. Last one I said sorcery, like a bowl. You know, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living in this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Woo! Now let's back up. Let the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Make use of opportunities to regulate your life, your conduct, oneself. Pass on the fruit of the Spirit to other people. Be preoccupied with the Holy Spirit. If I was a vendor and I said, and I'm trying to sell this to put food on my table, and I said, hey, does anybody want this pepper? It's okay. It's not bad. Not bad. How about this peach? It's not bad. Yeah, there's better ones out there. Are you going to be lining up at my fruit stand to buy that? Do you know that I believe all the time God puts opportunities in our life to be able to show that we're a disciple, to show the fruit, and we're standing in front of the fruit, and nobody can see the fruit because we're getting in the way. And it's there. I had a unique opportunity the other day before I had the cataract surgery, a couple of weeks before vacation, I had surgery on both legs. Getting old is not for sissies. You young people make fun of us. Just try it, you know? But I had surgery. The old people, like, yeah. But I had surgery, and it was minor surgery. And I go in for the post-op, follow-up a few days later. It was right before we leave on vacation, which was a stupid time to have this done. But anyway, the young woman, the technician, she is doing the ultrasound on my leg, and she's there checking it out, making sure we got good blood flow and all of this stuff, and there's no blood clots. And she's talking to me. She says, "Well, Mr. Mears, how is your day?" I said, "It is a wonderful day." I said, "It is terrific." And she said, "It is?" I said, "Yeah, it's the best today I have ever had." And she looked at me and smiled, and she said, "Boy, I'm glad. I need some of that. I'm not having a good day." And I said, "Well, what's wrong?" You know, all of a sudden the hat changes. I said, "What's wrong with you?" And she said, "Well, my husband and I and our two children, we rented a house recently, moved out of an apartment. We rented a house. It's a beautiful house. We want to buy. Market's not good right now with the interest rates. But we got this beautiful home in a beautiful neighborhood. And we did everything over the phone and online. And when I went to pick up the keys from the landlord, who I found out lives right next door to this property, he took one look at me and tried to back out of the agreement." And I said, "Why?" She said, "Duh. I'm African American, and he didn't want my kind living next door to him." And I wanted to cry. And I said, "I am so sorry. And on behalf of good white people everywhere, I apologize to you for that ignorance." And she welled up a little bit with tears and went on, finished the program that they were doing. And I got dressed, and I'm getting ready to leave, and it's just her and I in this room. And I said, "Excuse me." I said, "I don't mean to be forward here, but can I pray for you?" "Yes." I said, "I don't know. Are you a believer?" "Yes, I am. I'm a follower of Christ." I said, "Okay, I was going to invite you out to our church, but you're a believer." I said, "It's okay." And she ran and she threw her arms around me. Now, I told my wife, because I'm in a dark room with a very attractive lady whose arms are around me, and I said that, and being like that fatherly type, you know, I just patted her on the back and I prayed for her. My heart broke a little bit for her, and I asked God to heal her heart and help stamp out the ignorance in this world. And when we got done, I went, "Do you know what I did?" Now listen, I probably miss it 10 times for every time I hit it. So I'm not, this isn't. You know what I was doing to her? Saying, "Here's some good fruit. You've had some bad fruit. Let me give you some good fruit here." And that's what being a disciple is. It is easier than we make it. It's taking what's good on the inside of you. So let's go through this. I know y'all want to get home. Maybe. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, I misinterpret it, and some of you can challenge me on this if you want to. But I used to look at the fruit of the Spirit, and I would say, "Yeah, I'll take a little of this. I'll take a little of that. That one's not for me." But listen, it's like, love. Oh, fruit of the Spirit's love. Just leave it right there, Pastor. That's all we need. That's all you need is love. You know, love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Everybody here wants love. Everybody wants love. I'll take that fruit and we'll finish it off right there. No, you need some joy. Well, Pastor, we know you like joy. That's what you love to preach about. Well, I'll take some of that joy. Love means affection, goodwill, benevolence, brotherly love. Joy is gladness, calm, delight, cheerfulness. That's the fruit of the Spirit I want. Okay, let's throw some peace in there. Absolutely. Let's throw some peace in there to be able to relax and calm down. Peace means a state of natural tranquility, quietness, rest. Oh, Pastor, I could use some of that fruit. Let's throw another one. Patient. No, I don't like bananas. We'll get rid of it. You know, I like tomatoes, but, you know, I don't like... grapes are good. Oh. I don't want... Now, that part of the fruit I don't have. Why? It's the fruit of the Spirit. All of it. It doesn't even say the fruits. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Kindness means moral goodness, integrity. Goodness, meekness, mildness, humility, self-control, faithfulness. I jump way. Goodness, faithfulness. I'm all kinds. Faithfulness, fidelity, the character of one who can be relied on. And then gentleness. They're all mixed up somehow. We need to have all of these. All of these. Not one, not two, not three. Every single bit of it. So let's move on here. There it is. I bear fruit with my life. I bear fruit with my life. My life should constantly be producing the fruit of the Spirit. My life should constantly be, if I'm a disciple, I should constantly do that. John 15:16, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit and that your fruit will last. I think I'm crediting this next statement to the right person. I think it was Chris Hodges who said this. Discipleship isn't an act. It is a habit. It's not an act. We don't just put on. It's a habit. It's something, when you leave here today, you're a disciple. When you go to work tomorrow, why, you're a disciple. Mondays matter as much as Sundays do. It's a habit. Let's go back to John 15. I'm the true vine, and the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll even be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. If you remain in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear, there's that word again, much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you'll ask what you wish, and it shall be done for you. We like that part of it, don't we? This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Woo, that was a lot. We need to be constantly connected. Do you know? This peach will not grow anymore. It's not connected. That's it. It's done. You know, this isn't going to grow anymore. It's done growing. It's finished. As long as you stay connected, you can continue to grow. Now, again, I said I was a disciple of my pastor growing up. I've been a disciple of many people through the years. I'm actually a disciple of Pastor Michael. I learn a lot of things from him. And his vision, his goals, all of those things as well. But I'm a disciple of Christ above everything else. I like this in the Amplified. You've not chosen me. I like that. You know, We talk about how much we gave up for serving Jesus. You know, I gave my life to the Lord. It was so difficult. You didn't do anything. You said yes. The Holy Spirit wooed you in. The word was presented to you. Jesus called to you, and you said, yes, I repent. That's it. You know, you didn't choose me. I've chosen you. I've appointed you and placed you and purposely planted you so that you could go and bear fruit. Keep on bearing, and that your fruit will remain and be lasting, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will give it to you. The whole thing, if you've ever worked with vines, if you've ever worked with pruning or anything else, we don't like that part. And growing fruit, like these tomatoes that I grew, you know, I trimmed off all the little side suckers. I did all of these things to make sure I'd get a good, healthy plant. And we look at it and we go, yeah, but why do you got to do that? To make it as healthy as it can be. And there's sometimes in our life, the pruning is never fun. It never is. I remember we used to sing a song in the children's church. You work children's church? Not for very long. But the song, if I can remember it, we went, he's the peach of the Savior, he's the apple of my eye. He prunes away the branches when the branches get too high. He brings forth fruit in season, and his love will never die. And that's why I'm bananas for the Lord. I won't make you all do that. Now, there's a point here. Listen, I want to move on here. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. So the disciples are there. They're sitting down around him, and they're teaching him. And he starts to teach them some principles, which I will say are principles of being a disciple. I already read the fruit of the Spirit, but this is what he said to them. It's called the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know what? There's no room for arrogance in fruit growing. There's no room for any of that. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When was the last time you cried with somebody? You know, we've got to the point where we want to be hard. We want to be tough. Sometimes you just need to mourn. Shoot, I mourn over our country. I mourn over some of you have been through some tough times lately. And mourn. Blessed are the meek, for they inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. My interpretation of this was much like the fruit of the Spirit. Let's look at the Beatitudes. Let's see which one is me. When the fact is, all of them should be me. Amen? All of them should be me. The Beatitudes tell us what a disciple looks like. Jesus is telling them, this is how you spot one in the crowd. This is what they act like. If you look long enough, you should be able to see these eight qualities in all of our life. Now, at different stages sometimes, there are ones that I'm stronger at, and there's ones that I'm weaker at. But they should all be there and be a work in progress. They should be able to look at you and say, he or she is poor in spirit. They mourn over sin. They're meek. They hunger and thirst for righteousness. They're merciful. They're pure in heart. They're a peacemaker. You know, I just used to do it piecemeal, like, hey, I'm pretty good at that. So that's the one for me. That's my beatitude. Well, it may be one that I'm stronger at. When I worked at the bank and when I worked at Sears, I discovered that at both places, I used to get all the really mean, contrary, nasty customers. At Sears, they'd call me up and say, hey, Perry, deal with this person. And I'd be like, you're higher up than I am. And I asked my boss one day, kind of frustrated because I had got some really nasty customers. And I said, why? Why do I get them? And they said, dude, you just got a gift. You can talk somebody off of a ledge, you know. But I want to push them sometimes. And so the area of peacemaker, I'm a lot stronger in that than I am some areas. And some of you I've dealt with, and you say, not with me. I'm not perfect. But there's others that I need to work on more. But it's still there. It's still there. Listen, the Beatitudes, they describe the inner qualities. They describe the inner qualities. And the Beatitudes challenge us as to inquire as to the state of our own soul. You see, a disciple is going to be a disciple is going to be a disciple when they walk outside of these four walls and you go to lunch this afternoon and the waitress brings your food and it's not cooked the way you absolutely wanted it cooked. You got a choice to be a disciple or not. I'm not saying you don't send it back. It's how you send it back. This is inedible. I don't know what you're doing. I can't eat this. Or I hate this. Here's somebody look at a waitress or a waiter and say, give me, you subservient little thing, you, give me this. And just be nasty. Please, thank you very much. No problem. Appreciate it. Kindness. Kindness. Years ago, Penny and I, and got a couple of minutes. Years and years and years ago, Penny and I were at a church conference in San Antonio, Texas. And on the last night, a bunch of us from college that we'd never seen each other hardly, that we all went to the same college and we were at this conference, we went out to dinner at this restaurant. And I sat around and watched these people who were now pastors. And I watched how bad they treated our waitress. That's not what I asked for. Are you going to do something about it? Just the tone. I was embarrassed. I didn't want them for my friends anymore. And then when we left, I looked down on the table and they had nickel and dimed the woman. Oh. So Penny and I had actually taken a couple of extra days to take a little mini vacation and explore some of the areas of San Antonio. And so our last night, I told Penny, I said, I want to go back to that restaurant. And we had a few dollars left before we got on the airplane. And I remember going into the restaurant and I said, can we sit in her section? She was working. And it wasn't a ton of money. But we ordered and I could see her face like, oh no, one of them. And we sat down, we ordered a meal, not much. And then I left like a big tip. I understand some of the people in our church did that recently at a restaurant. Good for you, you know. And I just left like all the money we had left. Just, here's a big tip. Because I just felt guilty. And the girl started crying. And she sat down with us. We asked her to sit down. And she told us the story, how she had become recently a single mother. And she was working two jobs to try to put food on the table. And she didn't know where ends were going to meet. And da 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 da. And oh my gosh. Just flooding. And we pointed her to a local church there that we knew would help her and got to pray with her and talk with her. You know, It's one of those moments where you go, oh Lord, I listened to you. Thank you. But it's also a disciple moment. I want our church to be filled with disciples. So, they challenge us to inquire as to the state of our soul. Blessed, the word blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are blessed, blessed, blessed. So many times blessed is interpreted as happy. Happy are the peacemakers. Happy are the... It doesn't fit with the persecuted, though. Happy are the persecuted. That doesn't fit. Well, the Greek word there is makarios. And makarios doesn't even apply to the human emotion. It actually means approved by God. So when you go through all of those things, it means approved by God. Approved by God. Approved by God are the meek. Approved by God are those who hunger and thirst. Approved by God. There's a book, and forgive me, I cannot remember the author, had it in my head, but it's called The Applause of Heaven. And it's on the Beatitudes. And remember, approved by God. And they wrote this: God applauds the poor in spirit. Yeah. God cheers for those who mourn. God favors the meek. God smiles on the hungry. He honors the merciful. He welcomes the pure in heart. He claps for the peacemakers. And he rises to greet the persecuted. So the real question is, how much do you want God's approval? I want to be a disciple. Well, what you want is to meet God's approval. Do you want God's approval more than your family or friends' approval? Do you want his approval more than the people you work with? Do you want his approval more than the approval of your colleagues? Do you want his approval even more than your closest loved one? The Beatitudes are all about showing us what a disciple looks like. And when you look like that, you can have the applause of heaven. Amen. Do you know God's cheering for you? God's on your side. Would you bow your heads for a moment? I want to pray for you. Father God, I thank you for each and every person here. God, I just pray, Lord, that we would strive. We would take all the lessons that Pastor Michael taught us about being a disciple, what a disciple does, Lord, and we would become that very thing. Lord, that we would be the man or woman of God you desire us to be. That we wouldn't just take part of the package, but the whole package. And we would make a difference, Lord, in True Life, in Newark, in the surrounding areas, God, and in the world, Lord. That we would be known as a follower of you. That people would recognize us as your disciples. Father, I thank you. Now, with nobody looking around, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you don't have a relationship with him, and you just want, he's calling you right now, all you have to do is say yes. If that's you this morning, just real quickly, raise your hand. Is there anyone that says, I want to make that decision today? Amen. Amen. I see that hand. Anybody else? Anyone else? Then let's pray together. Congregation, would you just pray this prayer? Help them along that raise their hand. Just say, Lord Jesus, I recognize you as the Lord and Savior. And I ask you now to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I surrender to you and give it all to you now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, one more prayer. I need to produce more fruit in my life. That's me, Pastor. I need to be a fruit-producing disciple. Just lift your hand real quick. Amen. 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 God, we just turn everything over to you. Father, we praise you and we thank you. And I just speak fruit to spring forth from our lives, God, as we submit to your word. In the name of Jesus.